Before we start, let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this opportunity again to be here with you. We pray that as we study the scripture today, that you will give us a new insight of what the meaning is about your word for us. We pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us so that whatever we say will always be to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our memory text, or rather scripture reading, in Psalms 103, verses 15 to 17, it says, "The life of mortals, they flourish like a flower of the field." That's from the New International Version. "The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children." So our study is about this mortality. Now, one word, Benjamin Franklin, that was rather one statement that he was very famous of was, "There are two things in life that are unavoidable. They are..." You know them. Death and taxes. You guess what? I'll be speaking of one of them. And which one? It's about tax time. And so I'll be talking about not tax. That's a trap. So it's about death. And death is one of those things that is inevitable, unavoidable, but necessary. It's one topic that, you know, hardly anyone talks about. And in fact, I haven't heard any preacher do it here. Never. Why? It's a very painful subject. It's hard, it's broad, and it covers a lot of things. And chances are it will conflict with your own beliefs. But I'll try. I'll make it narrower, and we will focus on the positive part of it, especially toward the end. This is a situation where I thought I would deal with today because I deal with it a lot. I deal with it a lot, and in different scenarios, and I'm sure Dr. Thornhill has experienced the same thing. It's like almost every day you mention about that. You know, what is entailed in that situation. So everyone's scenario is different. It will be different in your situation than his situation. And if you have read many accounts of how people react to a death event, it could be from one extreme to the other. You've heard about some people taking their own lives once the loved one died. That's one extreme. And on the other hand, you see people who are just plain happy about the whole situation. Just happy. Why? It's because they have their own reasons for doing it. I mean, you could probably say that, thank God, his suffering is over. And they're happy over it. And there are some other reasons for doing that. The question is, how do you react to a situation? In other words, where do you fall in? David, in one of his Psalms, he said, "The life of mortals is like a grass. They flourish like a flower of the field." We've been talking about health. Health is part of life. We always emphasize health as this part of the whole entire segment of life. We become conscious when we start studying it. But where does health start and where does it end? Health, being healthy, covers the entire scope of the life cycle. You start to become healthy because you want to be better off toward the end. So healthy attitude about situation like this is something that we need to discuss too. So David compares human life as like a grass. And his example is wild grass. It grows in the field, it flourishes, and then the next scenario will happen. Why did he use that instead of the flower in the garden? In the garden, it's different. You nurture it, you flower it, you water it, and there's a gardener. In other words, it blooms and it becomes productive. It's because somebody is taking care of that. What about the wild? It's there. It grows by its own. It's very hardy. And it flourishes on its own. And it gives its beauty, its fragrance. However, its destiny is very frail. It's subject to the elements. In Psalms 103, verse 16, the wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers no more. So the life of the grass in the field is really very different than the one in your backyard. It's subject to the scorching sun, the snow, the wind blast, and the mercy of the wild beast. And sometimes some people would come, just pluck it off, and then the flower is gone. So despite that, the wild flower in the field, you know, they still continue to bloom. But it has a life of its own. Life of a person is similar to that, according to David. It's subject also to the harsh elements of life. And what are they? You can have the pandemic. You can have crimes all over. You have sickness, illnesses. You have all of these different obstacles, barriers to your health. And then, above all, there is the inevitability of aging. In other words, nobody escapes that. Everyone will get through that stage. And such is a man's life. And the verse continued, and the place remembers it no more. The flower is replaced by another grass, and then there's no more memory about it. But the difference between the humans and the grass is that humans remember. Remember the memories. Remember the good ones, and you remember the bad ones too. This is where the stage of uncertainties come in. How do we deal with it? How where do we stand? Can you handle death in a negative or positive way? Sometimes there could be a conflict between your belief, spiritual belief, and the cultural belief. And this needs to be reconciled. Otherwise, at the end, if there's conflict, you will always be bothered by it. Culture has a very big influence on how you react to special situation like this, especially if you come from a different country where culture has a different attitude about death. If you come from a very superstitious country like mine, you know, it affects you in certain ways. One day I was training in my rotation as in general surgery, and one of the requirements is you have to rotate in the pathology department, and I was rotating in a very big hospital, very big, the biggest hospital in the Philippines. And one of the requirements is that you need to have to perform two autopsies before you pass. Two autopsies. Now, I won't be graphic about it. What is autopsy? Meaning, you just have to find what's the cause of death. But you have to go through the process, you know, of dealing with it, finding out, and then in the end, you produce the slide and prove to the preceptor that this is your diagnosis. So one day, I had two assignments, remember? I finished one, and I have still one to, I have one to go. And rotation is about to end, and I said, I still have one, and I could do that easily. And then for some reason, I could not do it on that particular weekday. And I said, I'll just come Sunday. I know staff will be here, and they will be helpful. So one Sunday, I came back, came into the big mortuary, and you have all these freezers all around you. As I approach it, you hear this strange noise coming from the inside. And to my surprise, there was nobody there. I said, should I go in or not? It made me think so hard, and then I was inching my way toward my freezer, and the noise went louder. And then I was ready, and the noise even got louder, and I could not stand it. I said, there could be a prankster somewhere here. And my hair started to stand on end. And I scurried out. And I said, why did I do that? I'm a Christian, solidly founded. And I thought, you know, somehow your upbringing, your culture has gotten into you. Is there an example in the Bible that even the very chosen people were scared of something related to death? Do you remember? Disciples? They were so close to Jesus, and they have already that experience with him. He was resurrected. People told the disciples that he's been resurrected, and they did not believe. And suddenly here he comes. He appears with his hands. And what did the disciple, how did he react? They reacted with fear, saying, that's a ghost. So even the very elect can be influenced by this, thinking about, you know, what is your concept about death? So what can be done about that? Some people react in different ways, negative or positive. You can be the most prayerful person, and yet you can be a victim. And then on the other hand, people who deny it all the way. I had one patient one time who was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, stage 4. And so she was very hopeful. She went to MD Anderson, and the most they could offer her was an experimental drug that may help. The word there is may help. And she was very hopeful. She thought as it's one of those things that would actually cure her. The reality is that she became frail and became more despondent toward the end, but she was still hopeful that, you know, somehow there's hope. I even prayed with her, saying that, you know, there is a future after death. Only if you're a believer. I don't know whether she was a believer or not. She was an atheist, but she didn't accept the fact that the end was near. And she just passed. So it was very hard for her. That was an extreme situation. You know, denial till the end. Now, let's put that into a different perspective. You are a Christian. You go to church. You're a prayerful person. And yet, it may happen to you too. There was one family of 5. They were on their way to an evangelistic meeting in the Philippines one day. And along the way to the evangelistic meeting, tragedy happened. Everyone died except the mom. And guess what? You can predict what the aftermath would be. She was very bitter. The question she asked was, why? And the question given was not to anyone, but to him. Why, God? Why did it happen to me? And she asked different pastors for the answer. Nobody could give her a satisfying answer. The problem is that when you're so distraught, when you're so discouraged, you're so disgusted, you don't want to listen to anyone except your emotions. And so what do we do with those situations? Just give time, right? Best thing is sometimes you just stay silent, just be there, comfort. So it can happen to everyone. So question now is there a way to be positive about it? Now, I have a few things here with me that possibly can help because every situation is very different. All right. Number one is the big advice everyone is giving when it comes to this is have an open discussion. Anywhere you go, I've read so many articles about dealing with death positive ways. The most important thing at the top is have an open discussion. I've seen some families who would say, never tell him that you're about to die. I've seen that so many times. You are put in the crossfire is because your duty is to tell everything about what's happening to him and how is he doing. And so you can resolve that conflict if you do it way ahead of time. In other words, let's have an open discussion. And in the open discussion, it could be about anything. But if you have the knowledge already, I would suggest you structure it in such a way that, you know, it's progressive. In other words, start talking about what he's done, the good things he's done. Think about final preparations, things like that. In other words, you initiate the conversation. Because if you don't, it'll be free-willing and it doesn't have any purpose. So, open discussions. When my father died, about to die, you know, he was pretty much conscious, very much able to use all his faculties. And so he gathered his family around him and he started blessing each one from the oldest down to the youngest. Gave all the assignments or what you're going to do, but the blessings. He patterned that actually according to the story of Jacob. When Jacob was about to die, he gathered all his children and he blessed everyone. And this is what your prophecy will be for each one. So it was a beautiful experience for us. The closure was very positive. We didn't have bad feelings about it. So positive things you can talk about. What have you accomplished? Have you done something for the church? Have you done something for your fellow men? Are you proud of something you've done? Now, when Steve Jobs died, about to die, he had three things he said. Rather, three phrases. Maybe you remember some of them. He said, "Oh, wow." The next word, "Oh, wow." And the third one, "Oh, wow." He said that with a delight in his face. Now, you think, what did he see? Is he seeing something? Does he have a vision? Or was he thinking about what he has done so far in his life? Did he accomplish big? Did he change the world? something you have accomplished is worth having that in an open discussion. It gives you the positive feeling, both for the dying and both for the bereaved. Have you done any final arrangements? What does that mean? Final arrangements means, have you done your living will? Have you done your advance directive? And I deal with that every day. I hand out this advance directive every day. And I tell them, you know, especially in your situation, you got all of this, that means, you know, everything is up to him now. And if you haven't made final decisions, final preparations, it's going to be painful for the rest of your family. Remember, your family has to continue to live after you. So, final preparations, making peace with everyone, very important. Now, once he passed, what do you do next? Don't be afraid to grieve and show that you grieve. Different cultures have different way of grieving. In the ancient culture, during Jacob's time, during Joseph's time, how did he grieve? They mourned for 70 days. That's when Jacob died, 70 days. Now, in some countries, they have a mourning day like 1 week. And in the United States, it could vary from 1 hour to several months. There is no pattern in the U.S. But make sure that you celebrate the life that he's experienced. And that's a way to make a positive closure. Celebrate the life. Show love to the family. And number 7 guideline is talk about your faith and spirituality. Faith and spirituality. Remember the promises. Remember the resurrection. Remember the message of Paul. Remember that death is nothing but a sleep. Now, my last illustration here will be about Paul. Paul had a difficult life. He had experienced a lot. He suffered greatly as an apostle, but he never wavered. He was imprisoned in Rome once. He got out. He was imprisoned again the second time, under Nero's time. And during the height of the Christian persecution, Nero, who was the emperor at the time, tried to make him an example for those who follow Christ, especially if you want to be a leader as a Christian. And so Paul, from prison, he was certain that he's going to die. He wrote Timothy. And in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, can we put it on the screen? For I am now ready to be offered, Second Timothy. Next slide. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a great fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear. That's from verse 17 of our scripture reading. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love with those who fear him, and his righteousness with the children's children. Paul remembered those words, that there's a crown of righteousness after all this suffering. And then the future is laid up for me, the crown of righteousness. He died just like John the Baptist. Maybe we don't know how he died, but that's how he died according to history. We have so many accounts of that, different historians. He was decapitated. But it was the most humane way of execution at the time. If you were not a non-Roman citizen, they would do the slow process, like putting you on a cross. He was a Roman citizen, he was given that honor. Decapitate is an honor? Hardly any. And so, as a side note, Nero himself took his own life a few months later. Was that divine retribution? I don't know. So, Paul compared his life to a race. There's a beginning and there's an end. And he brought Christianity to almost every part of the world. He accomplished big. He finished the course. And so he wrote Timothy, and it's time for me to offer my blood. He knows that he's going to shed blood on this. As we would like to say, he did not die in vain. And he was very certain that the crown of righteousness is awaiting him. So he was a very fulfilled man. And every negative experience that he's had, he thought it was worth all the effort because a crown is waiting for him. Surely it was a positive experience. Now, his experience could be tragic from a man's point of view, but from God's perspective, he had done what he was supposed to do and doing the will of the Father. When our time comes, can we own a similar experience just like Paul? Because every situation, as I said, is very different. It boils down to how is your spirituality doing at that time? Are we a believer? If you're an atheist, you have no future. Your grieving right there has no end. But we are Christians. We have a life after death. But the most important thing is that if we submit ourselves to him, we will be considered his children, and he doesn't forsake his own. The negative becomes positive. I look forward to receiving that crown one day too. Do you? So experience, positive experience in the life of a person till the end. Can be positive depending on how you are connected with your Creator. Let's bow our heads. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you are a sovereign God. You are above everything else. And you know that your saints have suffered so much in your behalf. And you know our suffering too in this earth. We pray, Lord, that this stay in this earth will not be so long. Because we look forward to the day when we see your face again and be in that blissful place where there's no more tear, no more pain, no more death. And we look forward to seeing you for the rest of the eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.